Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you from an absolutely scorching Vancouver day in late July. You won't be hearing this until about mid-September when the October issue is released. I'm going to be speaking with a colleague from the Netherlands. Her name is Melissa Beaulieu. She's a medical student actually at the University of Amsterdam, and we'll be discussing a paper that she put together as an extracurricular activity. It's titled, You Put Up a Certain Attitude, a six-year qualitative study of emotional socialization, and you'll find it in the October 2018 issue of Medical Education. Melissa, it's getting to be late evening or early night for you, so I appreciate you taking some extra time out of your busy day.
Yeah, of course. I like the invitation, so thank you.
Yeah, as I just alluded to, you told me before we started recording that this was just an extracurricular project that you're doing on the side while you work through medical school. You knew the senior author, Esther Helmick, but I wonder what it is that got you interested in the sort of work that she was doing and what made this valuable enough to you that you could do it on top of your medical studies.
Well, it started as a side job for Esther Helmick, just translating some interviews for her to make some extra money. Right. And when I was doing that, I was getting familiar with the data, of course, and I really enjoyed thinking about the data and, well, discussing a bit with her. And so after a few months, I think, she asked me to do some analyzing work just to see what I thought of the data and if I could make something of it. And eventually that worked out pretty well. Eventually she asked me to take the lead on this, to start this project. And I've always been really interested in medical education, in the educational side. And of course, I like, because I'm a medical student, and I really enjoyed reading about what was still out there for me. Because when I started this project, I was still in my bachelor, so I hadn't started my internships yet. And for me, this was a way to already get familiar with that side, actually.
Yeah, well, and it puts you in an interesting position to be living this socialization process at the same time as studying it. Was there something happening in the lab or in your medical school that made emotions a high priority for your group to take a close look at the issue?
Well, I think I'm a quite emotional person. When I first got in contact with patients, everything was emotional for me, and I really needed to talk about it with everyone I knew, with my friends, with my parents, with everyone. So for me, it's always been a big part of my education, because it plays a big part in my life and how I experience things. Mm. So I knew that was for me more than most other students, but I really was interested in how other students felt during their whole medical school. Because all students differ in how they feel, how they experience situations, how they act upon certain situations, and emotions play a very big role in that.
Yeah, well, and I was going to ask you methodologically if it was difficult to separate your own experience from what you were hearing from other students, but the very fact that you saw so much heterogeneity, I suppose, speaks to you hearing things that you weren't expecting.
Yeah, exactly. I went into this project mostly blank, and I think hearing all the interviews, all the stories of the students made me more aware of how everyone differs in how they experience those situations. For me, at first, it was like, well, when you see someone suffering, you get highly emotional by that. But that's not for all students the same, and not all students show that in the same way.
So did reading or having to analyze the varied reactions and experiences of others make you look more or less forward to getting into the clinic?
Actually, more looking forward, because I felt more ready for my internships thanks to these interviews, because I've heard the stories of other students and they told, of course, how they handled it. And I could learn my lessons from that, like, oh yeah, that's also a good way to handle such a situation. So it made me look forward to the situation because I felt like I was ready for it.
Yeah, well, and that actually leads to some of the implications that I wanted to ask you about, and whether or not we can use practices like this to help better prepare students. But I suppose before getting ahead of ourselves, I should ask you to describe for our listeners a little bit more about what you did and what you found. And maybe I could start with, first of all, again, one of the unique aspects of your methodology is that this is a qualitative study, but it was longitudinal in that you followed a certain group over a period of time. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about how that played out and what moments you chose to try to explore these issues with them?
Yes, of course. In the end, we had 12 medical students and we followed them for the full six-year medical school period. And we held annual interviews that lasted for about an hour, but we skipped the year two because there was no clinical experience in that year. Because here in the Netherlands, in the first year, you have a nurse attachment. So in a month, you actually are a nurse assistant to wash people, to get them out of bed, those kind of things. And starting from year three, you get more clinical experience starting your internships. So really starting to learn how to be a doctor. So in those years, we decided to interview those students and ask them about their emotional experiences, what they thought were emotional experiences and how they responded to them and how others responded to those situations. And at the end, we had for all students 5 interviews lasting an hour. And I think that really captured the full range of clinical practice settings. So starting from entering medical school to the final clerkship year. And I think thanks to that long follow-up, we were able to really see the development over time by the students. So how they change over time, how they develop over time into their emotions, into their own professional identities.
Mm-hmm. Well, and by definition, these are experiences that are quite sensitive and that there were emotions being elicited. What did you do, or what did you have to do anything to help students become comfortable and ready to speak about the issues that you wanted to discuss?
Well, a senior author was the interviewer, and I think it's good that we had one interviewer for all interviews because eventually they get to know her, they know who she is, they know what she wanted to ask, so they bonded a bit over the years, of course. And I think because Esther Helmich was not some supervisor, they were not depending on a grade from her, it was more easy for them to talk about their emotions because when you're doing your internships, when you show some emotions, it can influence how others perceive you as a doctor. Like, students are told that they cannot show sadness or they cannot cry when breaking bad news to a patient. And when you do, some students get the idea that you're not a good doctor by doing that. And that could, of course, influence how your supervisors see you, what your grade is going to be like, how the whole medical system is seeing you. But because it was just a researcher, they felt more comfortable about talking those emotions because it was okay to talk about them.
Right. Can you say a little bit more about the juxtaposition? You identified that students predominantly received the message that emotion was something they should hide or suppress, yet they seem to have found role models who did it well and they tried to emulate those expressions of emotions that they observed. How did that process play out?
Yes, well, I think the main message is indeed about hiding and suppressing emotions, but we still see that students not always agree with that statement. It is the main message they get, but they also say in our interviews, like, I don't walk around like an emotionless monster. I don't want to lose my empathy. So they try to fit emotions into their own professional identity to make it work. And it was really interesting to see that students, of course, in some situations they hide their emotions or they suppress their emotions, but there are also two big exceptions where they overruled that. One being when the students felt the need to stand up for patients, like when they felt patients were being treated badly, they felt the need to stand up for those patients and they were able to act upon their emotions, even though that doesn't comply with the message they received. Mm-hmm. And the other exception is that medical students felt like when they're in their internships, they have a special role as a medical clerk. They're not doctors yet, so they have more time to act upon their emotions by providing emotional support. They say, as a doctor, you might not have time to provide that emotional support because you have to get a patient out in 10 minutes and then you have to do this and that. But as an intern, you have more time for the patients, so you were able to give more emotional support. So that was really interesting to see that they did not always agree with the main message.
Well, and so now, having seen this as both a researcher and a student yourself, do you have any particular recommendations or guidance, both with respect to how educators can enable students to find their way in this regard, and also how they might be able to keep their empathy, as you said, even as they transition into the role of the clinician?
Well, I think most importantly is for supervisors to realize that all students differ in how they express their emotions, how they respond to emotions, how they act upon their emotions, and that all students need different approaches to get their emotional development as best as possible. And I think the main message we want to give to supervisors is to start to talk about emotions, dare to talk about emotions, be open for talking about emotions, and just ask the student about how do you feel, what do you feel, and can we help you with it? And don't try to hide it. And moreover, when things aren't that emotional for you as a supervisor, because you've seen it a million times, it can still be emotional to a student. And I think that is something that you always need to remember, that for a student seeing it for the first or the second time, the experience is completely different.
Well, in many ways, you're living the advice you just gave by virtue of producing this work and sharing the paper with others. It does feel as though you're starting a conversation with the broader field and, again, bring some of these issues out from the hidden into the explicit. Congratulations on living the best practice that you're trying to promote. So I'll close things out then by just reminding those of you listening that the paper we've been discussing is called You Put Up a Certain Attitude, a 6-year qualitative study of emotional socialization. The first author is Melissa Beaulieu, and you'll find it in the October 2018 issue of Medical Education.
Thank you.